Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Who needs a COVID-19 test? Let's go in-depth with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Kevin, maybe 6 weeks or so ago, the governor suggested we all go to this website. And so I did as she suggested to see whether I should get tested or not. I filled that all out. It was really pretty easy. But the website said, no, I didn't need to go get tested for COVID-19. Is that still what we do now, or is there other procedures in place?
Yeah, in some cases we do, and in other cases it is different. You know, we were just talking about that this week that when you have something that we clinically know a lot about, like the example I'll use is measles. We know a lot about the clinical course of measles. So if there's some sort of public outbreak, we know what to do and what not to do and timelines, and we have those nailed down pretty good. Given this was a novel virus that's essentially never been in human beings before, we've been learning a lot as we go. And you can see the results of that as the rules keep changing, the recommendations change, the guidelines change. In the medical field, we're not used to that so much. We usually have pretty established guidelines that we follow and then we tweak over time. But just think back a few weeks ago when we were trying to follow the CDC's guidelines that said, oh, you should wear a homemade mask. Then it was, no, that won't help. Don't wear a homemade mask. And then back to, yep, we should all be wearing homemade masks. It was as the data came in, the guidelines changed. And so that's impacted testing. Also, what's impacting testing is we started off in the beginning of this outbreak that we didn't have enough test kits. And now the test kits are more available, much more available than they were in the beginning. That can loosen up guidelines and change how you do things. So that's why things keep changing. And I suspect that they will change some more. Where I don't see it changing as it relates to testing are those patients that come to see us that have symptoms. So let me just kind of remind everybody what the symptoms are as we have them now. And they are fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, muscle aches, headache, a new loss of taste or smell, sore throat, congestion or runny nose, nausea with vomiting or diarrhea. Well, that can mean an awful lot of things.
Right.
But certainly if you have any of those symptoms, in all likelihood, you're getting tested. Where rules and guidelines continue to change a little bit is the person that doesn't have any symptoms. And how does that work? So as it relates to testing, we notice that people kind of get a little bit confused about mixing up the tests that we can do. So basically there are two types of tests when people hear testing. There is the testing, do I have the active virus in my body and my body hasn't fought it off yet? I have the virus in my body. We have a test for that. And then there's a test for have I ever had it before, which is the antibody testing. And there's been a lot of talk about the antibody testing. So in the pathology groups that we work with, that they also work with Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, so antibody testing is very problematic, and here's why. Because a lot of people are interested in getting an antibody test that would tell them, oh, you've been exposed to the virus, you didn't even know you had it, now you have some sort of natural immunity to it, so you're good to go. That would be awesome if that's how it worked. The issue that we have right now is the antibody testing is very unreliable. In other words, I'll give you an example. You could test positive for antibodies but the test did not know the difference between the common cold and COVID-19 because many strains of the common cold are coronaviruses as well. So you could get a false positive and send you out feeling like you're protected and you're not. So that's an issue. The clinical relevance of antibody testing because of its unreliability is just very minimal. Just so it's not testing that is reliable and anything that we use hardly at all.
So why bother? Why should I bother to come in and get an antibody test if I can't trust it?
Well, that's our position. And that's the position that we follow as it relates to, as we work with our Mercy One counterparts in their pathology department. And again, they work with the Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. So a lot of experts have said that antibody testing is too unreliable and you can't trust the results. As in a lot of things with this virus, that is not 100% been accepted. You will see other pockets in some states that have done a lot of widespread antibody testing. So I think you asked me 2 years from now, I'll tell you who was right. But our position at this time is that the results are too unreliable to count on, so we don't use them.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about who needs a COVID-19 test with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. But if I'm thinking, well, it can't hurt, maybe I can further science. If I decide, well, I sort of want to take this, should I worry about using the hospital resources when they should be directed elsewhere or not? Should I just do it because I'm curious?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Again, You're asking questions I wish that had yes and no answers, but I think the best way to kind of get at that is what are we doing at the medical center? So we went from a period of time where we had such a limited number of test kits that even if you had symptoms, we had to kind of screen you down to a whole nother level to say, are we very concerned because you maybe have COPD, or you have other lung disease going on that we're really concerned about you, so we're going to use a test kit on you. Now we're at the point where anybody with symptoms, we can run the test. We work really well dealing with clinically indicated testing. So the hospital is going to continue to focus on the patient that has symptoms. So if you have symptoms, we're going to screen you either at our facility or if you call before. If you have symptoms, we're going to probably have you go to the Bell Avenue Clinic and be tested, and then we'll have you proceed from there based on whatever your needs are. The only exception to that is that any of our inpatients that need discharge, they may not have symptoms, but we will test them anyway just because long-term care facilities are such high-risk populations that we are going to basically make an exception in that rule just because the risks are so high. What we believe right now is the hospital setting does the symptomatic patients, people with symptoms, and we'll do that testing, and we've got adequate kits for that. The asymptomatic patient needs to use the Test Iowa that you were referring to. Okay. And then they have a system to deal with kind of the asymptomatic patients. That population, I think, is those rules and guidelines are going to evolve with time as even more testing kits and more testing sites become available. Certain county public health departments could become essentially new places where the Test Iowa can be done, which basically what we're saying is these are the patients that's like we'll take a call, you know, hey, I saw on Facebook, I think my neighbor has, you know, COVID-19, and last week I talked to him in the yard, but I don't have any symptoms, but I want to test. That's an application for Test Iowa. Now, if you have a fever, cough, chills, all those things that I went through, you come see us and we'll take care of that.
Okay, so about a week ago, a buddy called and said, do you want to come over? And so I did, and there were like half a dozen guys, and we're sitting around yakking. And then later on, I hear one of them tested positive. I sort of want to know. I'm feeling fine, but you're saying go to Test Iowa, don't come, don't make an appointment and come in.
So again, anytime that you have, we try to think of COVID-19 as, while it is a special circumstance in the way that we deal with patients and things, in most cases, it's just how we always take care of anybody. If you have a concern or something that you feel like needs to be checked out, we're not going to keep you from seeing your provider. You can talk to your doc, make an appointment anytime that you feel like you have a concern. What I wanted to do was kind of set some expectations around who might get tested and not tested. So like if you continue to be asymptomatic, but you just want the test done, then that could be run through Test Iowa. If you and your provider feel that it's clinically indicated that you need to get that test done, then that test will be ordered by a doctor because it's clinically indicated. Maybe you have one of these symptoms, or maybe you have something going on medically that they felt that you need to be tested. So in that circumstance, you just come see us. Make an appointment, come see us. But certainly if you are in that setting and you need to, or you are starting to show symptoms, it's imperative that you make contact with your healthcare provider immediately.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about who needs a COVID-19 test with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
We wanted to set some expectations around for people knowing that if you just want to get the test because you want to get it, that's a Test Iowa direction.
Okay.
If you have symptoms, your healthcare provider in all likelihood is going to immediately do that test. So testing here at the medical center, there's a couple of things that we can do. And this is actually kind of interesting because I would have never seen this coming. In the early days, we were doing the nasal swabs, and then those swabs were sent off to the state hygienic lab, which for us was in Iowa City. I think we were averaging right around four or five day turnaround on those tests. And then the test kits were really limited. So through our partnership with Mercy One, something interesting happened in Des Moines that I would have never thought would ever happen, is the company Cortiva, which used to be Pioneer.
Sure.
Well, they have a full lab there for agrosciences, and they were fully capable of running tests. So they went to the FDA, got their lab approved to run COVID-19 testing, and then created a partnership with Mercy One. And so then they were able to take some of the load off of the state hygienic lab and run those. We would take our samples here from Knoxville, we would take them to the Mercy lab, and then they'd be run at the Cortiva labs in Des Moines.
Wow.
So that was awesome. And then they even took it another step further, is that part of the turnaround issues with this COVID-19 and throat and nasal swabs, when you're doing high numbers of public health, like public health numbers where we want to test every Iowan or something like that, these tests are extremely labor intensive. There's a lot of things that you have to do and steps you go through to get it ready to be run. Several, and so very time consuming. So that was a big limiting factor on why we couldn't run all that many tests in the beginning. But for instance, one of the things that Cortiva did was they got approval from the FDA to do saliva testing. So saliva testing is not as easy as it sounds, because when they first told me about it, I thought, awesome, you just spit in a tube and send it up to the lab and you're good to go. It's a difficult sample to gather because it's done through a pipette, and you got to get a lot of saliva. We have to have a lot of it. So some patients can't produce that much saliva. We have young ones that you just can't get the cooperation to get enough saliva to do it. So the nasal swabs are still done. But what's different with the saliva test, most people can do that. So we have plenty of test kits. That's a much simpler test kit. And they are able to run those by the hundreds and hundreds at the same time. Because there's no labor, laboratory labor in transferring the sample from one media to the next. It's literally run the tube that we sent them. So they're able to do those tests very quickly. So on our Cortiva tests that we are running now, instead of getting the 4 and 5 day turnaround that we were getting through the state hygienic lab, through the saliva testing, we've seen results come back in 24 hours. Huge advancement. And what that impacts, well, obviously, to give somebody peace of mind that's showing symptoms. Do you have COVID-19 or not? What do I need to do with my family? There's one thing to wait 4 days to know, and then there's one thing to wait through the night to know. So that was a huge step forward for us. Also, to let people know that we have ordered our own machine. We have it on order. We expect it to show up at the end of this month and the beginning of July, where we'll be able to run our own COVID-19 right here at the medical center. And those results will be available in 45 minutes. So again, getting much better. Always the limiting factor on these things is on that 45-minute test, we have to have access to the test kits. So what we've heard is that, you know, in this summer, later summer, the test kits will be much more readily available than they are right now. So as it relates to testing, you're going to see moving forward our ability and a lot of medical centers' ability to get you results in just a few minutes, say 45 minutes. That's going to be probably more of the norm. Whereas think where we started from just a few weeks ago, we were waiting a week for results. So massive improvements going on with testing. I think yet to come, yet for people to really kind of get figured out, we'll follow the guidelines of the CDC and the IDPH, Test Iowa, our public health departments. The question that we're still wrestling with is exactly what to do with the asymptomatic patient who thinks they have an exposure, but no symptoms. That's been a very difficult sort of thing to deal with, because one of the things that we're really concerned about is, you know, when I said, I gave you that example of, I was with my neighbor, the example you did, you got together with some buddies in a living room. If you test too early, the virus hasn't replicated enough in your body to be detected. So we could give you a negative result and you think you're good to go and you get sick later, and not to mention you may have passed that on to other people. So false negatives are a real problem. And so that's why it's very important that you work with your provider, watch out for symptoms, get in right away if you've got those symptoms, and get yourself tested on that.
So one final question, Kevin. Let's say I test positive, what happens then?
COVID-19 is a public health concern like measles. So when we run a test, two things are going to happen. If it's positive, the lab that ran the test is going to notify the public health department closest to where you live. And your ordering provider will also get the positive result. So who contacts you first will be dependent upon who gets the information first. So if your provider calls you and says, hey, you've got a positive COVID-19 test, here's what I want you to do. Understand you will also be contacted by the Department of Public Health, and so they can do all their contact tracing, who you've been with and where you've been. Understand that the public health department is under the same extraordinarily strict guidelines that we are on confidentiality. So they are there to help the public health, obviously, but they will protect your privacy to the very best of their ability. But no, all positive results will be sent to public health as well.
Thanks to Kevin Kincaid for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.